Today we pick up with Chapter 2 of the Trinity Baptist case, the story behind the story of the 1992 meeting, and even this is not complete. There is so much deception and corruption in the Trinity Baptist case, I really don't know how to present it all, and probably it's going to be a project that will take the rest of this current year, but I hope to get most of it into the podcast to avoid having it be covered up and silenced, as so many of these cases are. So right now, let's start with Chapter 2 of the Trinity Baptist case. Previously in the report on Trinity Baptist, we talked about the 1992 meeting at the church, where it was publicly declared that Bob Gray had committed an indiscretion that was neither sexual nor immoral. We pick up the discussion today on the aftermath of that meeting and what happened. Remember, unknown to the congregation, HRS, which was the Department of Children's Services in Jacksonville at that time, had already opened an investigation on Bob Gray, but very few people at the church actually knew that.
I think after the meeting, everybody started putting things together and knew who the three victims were.
This question also comes up in researching this case. Who in the world was Tom Messer? He was not a deacon, as some news sources have reported. He appears to be some sort of factotum or personal assistant to Bob Gray, but certainly, in this instance at least, Tom Messer took on a huge amount of responsibility.
Tom Messer was not elected pastor as of yet. Bob Gray was still pastor. But we found out later Tom Messer had been heavily involved in the cover-up of one of the victims before this meeting.
That victim was Ann Stewart. Ann Stewart had been molested by Bob Gray for years as a child, made to sit on his lap while he French kissed her and kissed her with an open mouth on her face and neck and became aroused. As a young adult, just prior to the 1992 meeting, Ann had brought forth her grievances to Tom Messer. Ann, at the age of 21, was then made to sit, without an advocate of her own to accompany her, in a room with church leaders that included Bob Gray, the man who had molested her. She had made clear assertions about his actions, but they put it on her to declare if her abuse had been sexual or not. Under the pressure of their presence, Ann could not make a clear statement about the nature of her abuse, even though she was clear on what Bob Gray had done. Using Ann's inability to call her abuse sexual or molestation, these men then took her charges and used this as their basis of insisting that Bob Gray's indiscretion had been neither sexual nor immoral. Of course, any reasonable adult knows that no matter what a victim says, an adult man French kissing a child and engaging in heavy petting with her is both sexual and immoral.
Tom Messer was never a deacon. He was not head of the deacon board. But one of the victims had gone to Tom in the year or two before the church meeting, and he knew all the details on her. So we found out later he knew about her. And then he was heavily involved in the cover-up of a second victim. We found out later he had been heavily involved before this meeting with another victim.
So at the time of this meeting in 1992, when the allegations were read by Bill Green and Bob Gray denied them, Tom Messer already knew that Bob Gray was guilty.
Absolutely.
So unknown to Pat and Dennis Cassell at this time and most of the congregation, HRS was already knocking on the door regarding Bob Gray. At least two victims had come forward to Tom Messer with detailed accounts of their abuse from Bob Gray. Surely the resignation of Bob Gray could not have been long in coming.
It was just all kind of right around the same time. Bob Gray resigned to become a missionary to Germany.
He didn't resign at that meeting, but after that, there was talk of him being a missionary to Germany and leaving the church. In the interim time, Tom was being considered as pastor, but with another preacher that they were kind of splitting the Sunday service. One would preach in the morning and the other would preach in the evening.
The way that Tom Messer was set up by the leadership of the church to certainly win the candidacy to become a pastor is a topic for another discussion. And there is more to say about the Trinity Baptist case. We've only covered the first meeting in 1992, but the rest will have to wait for a later time.